This is an audio recording of the North Hewish Parish Council meeting on Tuesday, the 5th of November, 2019.
So, open forum. Anybody got anything?
Just the election, presumably, is all set up for here.
Yes, I've had the form today.
I believe so, yeah.
Good.
Had the form to fill in for here.
Right.
And
what
I call
what's
yesterday.
What's election?
Do you not stand?
No, it's all set up for here.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
We could have put you in.
Because I think, did you, have you actually resolved?
It was picked up by Councillor Panel, who I think made a very strong case to keep it here.
Yes.
And it seems that that's worked for the time being anyway.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have...
There's two things.
They won't have time
anyway.
So anywhere else.
So I think they are still behind the scenes. Yeah. Still sort of. They were still looking possibly.
They'll lose the electorate if they do.
I just say this does seem rather odd because. I mean, we haven't had any complaints from the parishioners about the polling station. It seems to be simply the convenience of the people starting.
Exactly. Well, it is. And they don't like the fact they haven't got Wi-Fi, they haven't got a kitchen, they haven't got a... They bring a loo, and I bring a kettle.
Well, they yeah.
Exactly.
You can't do without Wi-Fi.
I think the electorate's more important than the comfort extra jollies.
This is a rural voting place, and that's where they're going to...
And Southampton knocking us for £707 for the privilege
of
having this.
Well, I've got to say...
Every parish has got...
I assume if we moved to Brent, we'd still get stung for £770.
No, exactly.
I think we're paying...
No, you're right, we wouldn't want to move to Brent. But, you know...
How much did we pay for the...
We're all right where we are.
Parish councillors, that was £700. Yeah, knocked out of our precept.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else in open forum?
Parish council.
Which is fair enough. I don't know whether it's a matter of public interest. For information, if people need to keep an eye open, I had my tyres slashed about 10 days ago. Only three of them. Couldn't reach the fourth.
Where?
Just outside the house. So, you know, I don't know. I have a theory, but I could never prove it. But whether it was just aimed at me or whether it was aimed just casually, I don't know. But you know, it's going to cost me about £600, I think.
You aimed at you as a role as chairman of the parish council?
Who knows? I've no idea. It was done on a Friday night, Saturday morning. Came out and found Kai's flat. Fortunately, we're upwind with cousins, which is fortunate.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't fancy trying to change tyres on that hill. But I wasn't best pleased.
I also had a puncture this week, interestingly.
So, I mean, whether it was casual vandalism or whether it was targeted or whatever, but I just thought I'd bring it up simply because
it
happened. Not that it happened to me specifically, but I mean, if somebody's done it, it's worth keeping an eye on. I haven't reported it because what's the point?
Well, at least you get a log number and we can put it on the community website.
We don't know who it was.
I think we ought to put it on the community website, even so.
That's one of the reasons I'm putting it on here, really. But I just thought it would be worth while people knowing.
Because in a way, that's the second thing that we've had in the parish regarding vandalism. The fence and then the tyres. So I think it's something we've never, ever had in this village before. Ever.
Okay, so that's just that. Anything else in open
forum? I would have thought you ought to report that to the police.
Well, it's 10 days ago now, so...
How's the mud on the road looking?
It's all right. It's washed away.
That's the answer.
They were out today, weren't they, digging out the edges, the verges and things.
Well, we're doing the work for the council.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a bit peeved about it.
Okay.
Same as hedge trimming. There was a lot of fire rooms I go along. Haven't been trimmed for years. You've got the wingmers. Turtley is a typical example on the main room, just before you get to the woodpecker. Norrie smack the wingmers there every day. Nothing gets done about it. On the back roads from like Langford down to Brookdale and up your way, you know, the growth's come out, isn't it? You've a lot of people haven't.
Should the landowners actually cut them back, say, going to Turley? So we could actually report back to Upra then, couldn't we?
Could.
Parish Council, perhaps.
You know, I guess
so that they cut it back.
Lorries that feed lorries and whatnot, they go that way. Very often they say, well, we smack the wingworms up there when we pull in for a car.
Don't mention feed lorries.
Why not?
One of those has allegedly been a bit naughty at getting on the bridge.
About the... Just overgrown towards Turtley.
Yeah.
They might well have been coming away from it. Anyway, that's another matter.
Okay.
We can
that is in our parish.
Your bridge,
I don't know whether
not
it's...
No.
Is that right?
Yes. I don't know whether it's relevant to highways or whatever, but I'll bring it up here. I had representation from somebody about Penistone Lane. The surface, but also the fact that the drains are blocked up and was washing a lot of rubbish down the hill. Also, the buttle holes that Councillor Singleberry was concerned about. I contacted John Whittaker, he was going to go.
He did. He asked me then. Thank you very much for doing that.
And
he
also,
was going to look. Yeah.
Also, I brought up
the one on Black Oil.
No, the one on the Dipford Turn.
Okay.
If the water doesn't go down into the
I did ask him to have a look at Penistone Lane. He said he'd have a look, but if it involved an awful lot of work all the way down the lane, he didn't know whether or not the council would be prepared to pay for his time to do the whole thing.
Mm.
So I said, well, go and have a look at it anyway and report back, and he hasn't. So whether that means he's cleared up the drains or what, I don't know.
It's quite interesting, Chairman, that the on the main road at Zion of the Isle, the water was right across the middle of the road, about a foot deep, and had been there for weeks.
Well, it's been cleared now.
Devon County Council can clear it. Mr. Whitty can clear it.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been a brave man to do
I
that.
I think we need to tell Councillor Austin if he turns up.
Yeah. It needs to be improved somewhat.
It'd be pretty dangerous doing that. It's
a dreadful place to drop those trees.
No, between Kidderford Cross and Sign of the Owl, opposite those.
Just by the side
of
the Owl.
There's like a little orchard on the opposite side, isn't there? Yeah, just there, on the opposite side.
Positive lake.
It's
like a dilly field. It's very full at the moment, just transferring.
Okay, so anyway, I think we ought to, as usual, thank John Whittaker for his efforts because he is remarkably efficient and has, I think, exceeded expectations. Okay, so nothing else for open forum? Apologies for absence, I think, are not relevant.
Councillor Pennell, but we only have one or other. I mean, the plan is that one or other should be absent.
Anything from
Councillor Hoskin? Nothing from him at all yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Declarations of interest, as per. To agree the minutes of the meeting, 1st of October. Okay. Thank you.
It must have been empty. It just goes back to what is the weight of the load to cut that? 12 tonne? I think it is. I think it's 12 tonne.
It may not be.
I think it's quite a fine.
Okay. Matters arising therefrom.
First one, I think Councillor Griffiths has possibly got some information for us on, or not.
Which was that?
That's the mobile phone signal.
Mobile telephone signal. I confess that I had a brief look into that, but the situation is more complicated than I had hoped it would be. I will present a full report on that at the next meeting, if I may.
Thank you very much.
And then the path, nothing has happened. We wrote to First Court, and we haven't had anything back from them at all, and nothing's happened to the fence either.
Mm-hmm.
It's only last April as it happened.
I think another letter then.
Yeah. You wrote the last one.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
I remember it well.
If you'd like to write another.
I'd love to. As long as I can remember what I said to the last one.
Well, I'll send you a copy.
Thank you.
I looked into the paper, and I knew that the problem has already been reported. I forgot to think about it.
No, offensive graffiti.
Too cold.
Too wet.
Oh, wet, yes.
Whilst you're on the subject of the play park, Mr. Chairman, did you presumably...
That will come up.
Will it?
It will come up. If you're bleeding for last thing.
I might have gone by then.
I'll come up fairly soon. Flood group.
Yes.
Now, at the last meeting, there was a sort of deputation that was going to go from here to the local hostelry to find out if there was any...
Oh, you're quite right,
yes.
And we did. And the box is still there at the end of the car park.
Yep.
And I believe the special shovel which puts the bag in the sand
yes,
is in there as well
made.
Still.
Great.
And if you want to fill it up with sand, you're more than put the bags there, you're more than welcome to.
So we'll need to order some sand.
Mm-hmm.
We need the bags as well.
That's the other thing, yes.
Because they don't last very long.
No, we had
is that a DCC or a Southampton?
Well, it's Southampton, but it isn't. They've stopped doing it.
What?
Sandbags. We used to have a supply of bags from Southampton
because the bottom
that we filled up with sand.
I think it's still available.
Well, in the email they sent me, they said they don't supply the bags.
They don't
anymore.
Supply them, but you can collect them.
Yeah, they didn't say
well,
that.
Well, that's a bit different, isn't it? If they don't supply them, you would imagine that they don't have any there.
I think you can collect them from the depot.
Oh, right. Well, that doesn't. That if they say they don't supply them to me, it says that
they're
just
not available, yeah.
Yeah.
If they've got them, where's the depot?
There's a depot in Totnes,
or Tall Quarry, or Ivy Bridge. I would have thought.
Yes.
Is that right?
We're Ivy Bridge, aren't we?
Well, that was.
You find out.
I can.
If you could have been there,
yes, absolutely.
I mean, in some ways, we've almost needed them already.
Right.
But,
I will
find out. So that an emergency officer for those sort of things. Have they still got one?
Staff, all sorts of officers, but.
Yeah,
I
had an email back from someone, I've forgotten who, but the.
Yes, you said you talked to me, and I can't remember. You did, yes, thank you.
And the information they express these things.
Where is Pavel?
But we can all get some sound in the meantime if someone would like to propose that.
I will.
You also said about the car parking
charge.
I've done both, I think. Not sure.
Right,
they're talking too much to
sort that.
I know.
Phone box?
Parish Council website and regulations.
Parish Council website and regulations. You would say the clerk very helpfully forward me a government advice on Parish Council websites and accessibility requirements. From what I can determine, because of our circumstances, we should be able to proceed with a basic check on our accessibility on our website. I have carried out an initial overview assessment of our website and found no major issues with accessibility that meet the criteria that I've applied to it so far. I am continuing on that process of applying accessibility criteria. I've made some minor modifications to some aspects of the website to improve its accessibility since it was built 6 years ago,
yeah,
I think it was.
Yeah,
but yes, again, at the next meeting, I will present a set of analysis of the website's accessibility and also an accessibility statement which the council will need to adopt and publish on its website.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Barn. Councillor Pannell went off to look at it further after our last meeting, as he promised he would. And we had an email from him, which is hiding away there somewhere now. Would you like to read that? It's a
usual
phone.
Oh, yeah,
Yes.
Right, I'm sorry the residents feel disappointed over the North Hewish barn extension.
Is this from whom?
This is from Councillor Pannell.
Right.
To us.
Right.
Well, as a parish council?
As a parish council.
Right.
Through Tony, of course, but there you go. So, I'm sorry the residents feel disappointed over the North Hewish barn extension, but from my experience on the development management, I believe there were strong planning reasons for its approval, particularly in view of the evidence of the lean-to there in the past.
What experience would that be?
I've got a clue. If I had felt that asking for a site visit and for the application to go to committee might have led to a different result, I would have done so. But I honestly don't feel it would. I would reiterate that if residents or the parish council feel strongly that they would like a site visit, it would be helpful if they could raise their concerns directly with myself or Councillor Smurden. I can't guarantee that we would concur, as the issue is left to our discretion, but of course we would consider such a request very carefully.
I think the problem
best
is
wishes.
It's been passed through now and accepted. It's got conditional acceptance. I just can't see how South Hams could go back on that now, just because we're objecting.
They can't.
It wasn't so much that. It was more about our voices were not heard and it wasn't taken into account.
It wasn't just that, it was that 90% of the village objected to it.
I think there's 15 houses, residents down there, properties down there, and 14 of them complained. Of course, number 15 was the one who put the application in, so I'm not surprised he complained.
And they did send letters of
complaint. And it was a very, very strongly...
I think that's a whitewash or something.
No, it wasn't a whitewash because, I mean, the planning officer that dealt with it is somebody who would take a considerable amount of time over it. She's not one of the more senior ones, but in order before it was determined, it was discussed with. It wasn't discussed with. Not with Patrick Weiler, but it was discussed with another very senior planner, and you know they discussed it together. And
it was
but obviously,
case that
no consultation about the inhabitants of the village.
And
it
won't.
But
and it's
then
setting a very nasty protocol now for all future developers.
You used to have a policy that all extensions to barns, because we had all this crap before.
Yes,
yeah,
with
the
Horsbrook.
Yeah. When Stuart Lethbridge put in for an application for an extension to his stone barn, they said, oh no, we've got a policy that there's no stone extensions to barns, because every barn in the whole of the South Hams will be twice the size what they are with a stone extension. You have to have something new, a modern design to differentiate it from the old stone, preserved stone barn.
Mm.
And that drives a bloody horse and coaches right through it.
Mm.
I struggle to see how the fact that the parish council objected to it and virtually everybody in the hamlet objected to it carried no weight.
To me it's
completely ludicrous.
Well, it's not Luke, it's not. I mean they look at it on they look at it on planning ground. A lot of the objections
Day's experience to this planning officer.
I don't know, Robert appointed
straight
out
of
comment.
I'm not making any comment, Chairman, but I will make a comment that I don't think the parish council we're listening to, our district councillors, should have looked closer. I'm not accusing Councillor Spurton of anything, but Councillor Panham should have took on board what the parish council said.
And further to that, there was no site meeting. So if you think that there is such a local angst about it all, you should have at least been down and had a site meeting
and seen it in situ.
When
Guy was here, because
we raised all these objections at the time. To me, that letter is just washing his hands of the whole thing.
No,
the decision.
It's not just it.
Actually, to be fair, it wasn't before the decision. The decision had been made but not signed off.
Yeah. The last time I came, you said that this was coming up and that there were likely to be objections, which there were. But, I mean, it's great with hindsight, etc. But, I mean, if you'd said, well, you could have requested it to be looked at by the committee, but then at the end of the day, there's got to be valid planning reasons.
There's valid planning reasons for us to be opposed to it. The size of the extension in correspondence to the actual size of the property of
the
dwelling itself.
You've got the fact that they've come up with a photograph which shows a lean-to on the side of the building.
Tin.
Yeah, whether it's tin, whether, you know, that you know, you put that up in front of a planning committee, you put that up on the screen, and you know, it's.
So if I come up with a picture of a mansion that used to be on a field and it's not there anymore, you're planning for a mansion again,
will you? Used to be a mansion on your field.
Well, not my field, I've just been any field.
Well,
you can't...
Obviously, if there's been a dwelling or something there before, then that it lends a considerable amount of weight towards it.
There was a whole load of tin lean-tos on our barns when originally, I mean, but...
This was no permitted development or anything like that. This
was
a full planning application.
Of course it wasn't permitted development, because if it had been permitted development, they would have just done it. But, okay, so...
You're missing the point. It's not about this application going through, because it's too late. We said this. It was already signed. It's done. The point is the weight that we as parish councils should have and be listened to.
The parishioners
themselves and the number of complaints that application
but
found.
But if the objections which the people make are not relevant to planning, which
and at that point you should be going, oh right, okay, we should have a site meeting. We maybe should be putting this to the committee.
I don't see how they're not relevant, because
you know,
people live next door to this development.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, so, I mean, I went out and looked at it, and they were saying that it blocked out the light from the windows. Well, if you actually stand there and look at it, one of the windows of the barn that's there already looks up across, it doesn't look at the barn, it's higher up than the barn, and the second window of the barn across the road looks directly now at the end of the barn.
But you've gone and had a look at this after all of this,
and
we've kicked over. You didn't go out on a site meeting.
No, Chris,
on a site visit.
But you go and look at it.
Did the planning officer go and have a look at it?
I really don't know.
I just think
we certainly did.
Makes a nonsense of planning, actually.
I think it's nitpicking. I think it is disrespectful. And I think disrespectful to the parish council, disrespectful to the people that live adjacent to it. Because if these things are put towards us and nobody listens to a word we say,
what's the point?
Sent to us in the first place.
Yeah.
Waste of time.
Okay. So
I mean, we're there to represent the parishioners. And it's the parishioners who are objecting. We are supposed to give them a voice. And if we're not listened to, then where are they supposed to turn?
Okay, but I mean, people, you know, they were complaining about, well,
I don't know what they were complaining about.
Yeah, but
they were complaining, that's the point.
Yeah, but the fact that, I mean, you know, people complain, I mean, if you look at the amount of complaints that you get on, I mean, it's not Southampton's, but I mean, there was I was dealing with a planning application at Dartmoor National Park on Friday, and there was 90 objections to 30 houses.
The complaints have to have some validity.
That was passed.
But at the same time, if 90% of the village objects to it, surely that should be taken into account, shouldn't it?
But it's got... it's got.
You're talking about one or two people.
Yeah, but they've got...
It's about giving it weight,
yeah,
and
it's
putting
got,
it in context.
But
it's
got,
if anybody complains about a planning application in North Jewish Parish, it's an unusual event.
Absolutely.
And if they all complain about it, it's a pretty mass
problem.
Sign of disapproval.
Mm.
Anyway, I think we should register our...
yes, I think so.
I think we should register that we're not happy,
yep.
That we feel that we've been ignored. I don't care, you know, I mean, this is our feeling.
Right.
Whether you feel that we're justified or not, that's what we feel,
well,
I think.
Okay,
am I speaking
I mean,
for everybody?
They will have taken into account that the parish council wasn't happy about it, but... You know,
and then we get a letter like that, which just washes a hand.
Well, that would. I mean, I mean, he sent me a copy of it as well. That's fair enough. I mean, I still, as I say, I'm of the opinion that if it had gone before the planning committee, it would have been approved. I've got.
They've done away with the policy.
Would you not say so? I mean, I don't...
I can't possibly comment.
No, you can't.
I won't comment then.
No, don't.
But are you really?
Can you look into it then? Because there was such a thing, or we've been quoted as
well. It is too.
Having said they've got such a thing.
Would you? What's that?
The policy with extensions to existing stone barns.
Yeah.
The barn guide.
Right.
That's what it was down to.
Okay.
Which is quite.
But I
think that should be right.
Yeah,
and if it is still, they want to get a planning office to read the bloody thing.
But I can. I mean, they check off if you're dealing with an applicant. They check it off against every policy which is with Sarah Carroll.
Right.
They check it off against every policy that's now in the it's the joint level plan that is. Taken over from everything, and they can't afford to mess things up or disregard it. So
just disregard us as
well. I think we should be on record as recording our disapproval, because I think otherwise we're not representing the parishes.
No,
Chairman, I think it'd be a good idea if we asked the planning officer to come and explain why they come to the decision.
Well, we did last time.
Not separately on this application, but any.
We had one barn conversion at Worcester with one set of rules, and next barn conversion application at North Avery, completely opposite, because that's what Stuart Lethbridge wanted, was a stone.
We didn't like that bit of a monstrosity down there.
Really. Bunker on the side.
Yeah.
I think in that case that's not a bad idea.
Actually, it's interesting, and also regarding Coombe House and the extension there, absolutely nothing's happened.
No, not yet, but can we not talk about that for the moment? It's sort of part two type work.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Moving on.
There was just one more thing, and that's two more things. The house painting at Higher Moor.
Yes.
Now, Councillor Pannell followed that up totally and got letters from just about everyone that can write a letter in Devon, I think. And it was finally decided that the house, the paints that were used by
Live West.
Were in fact incorrect. They should not have used them. They offered a palette of colours to their clients that should not have been made available. It was their mistake. They'd lost the original palettes, so they say, and the houses have been painted the colours that their residents chose. We now have a complete colour palette available, which I'll keep on record, and so have the people who objected from Higher Moor. I don't know if anything was happening in addition to that, because what I did was give everything to the person at Higher Moor who brought this up in the first place, and it's up to the management group in Higher Moor as to whether or not they want to take this matter further.
No.
Now they do have Councillor Pannell's email address. I know he's been away a while, but he is back. I don't know if they're bothering to contact him.
It's more of a concern if anyone else decides to pick up this palette which is incorrect up there and go, oh, I'd like to paint my house that colour, and before we know it we've got
Indeed.
These wrong colours being...
Although I think perhaps the management group have got their eyes slightly more open than they were, because they've been shaken by it, and they object strongly to what's happened. And I don't think you can pick up a paintbrush and hire more time over there, so they're looking at what's in the front.
How many houses have been affected so far?
You can see the difference in the colour, definitely, especially on the outside.
There's some colours that people may find more objectionable than others.
Yes, you can. Definitely.
Some of them, because people wouldn't notice. One or two colours are...
much stronger than they were.
Yeah.
One's yellow,
yellow. One in particular, you might...
Yeah, but who does it affect?
The people living in the Higher Moor estate.
Right. One say normal.
It was their choice.
Sour yellow.
Well, there's one like that at
not anymore.
Wet green.
But that had
it's gone. It's been repainted.
That's been repainted.
Yeah, ages ago.
It's no longer calf scar. I think you need
you need to go to spec centres.
The situation
is a problem.
The situation is very much in the hands of the committee and Councillor Pannell, and whether anything will be done. At least it was followed up in great detail. Well, we do have the things. Finally, just the last thing on the list here is for Councillor Hunt, I think.
I have spoken to Mr. Young's secretary. I've tried Mr. Young on numerous occasions. He's on holiday. He wasn't in the office. He was out of the office.
Sounds
he
like
arrived.
More
spoke to his secretary. She was going to look up the previous notes, which didn't.
She didn't.
But I did suggest that if nothing else, if it was going to involve, that we didn't want it to involve a lot of cost or solicitors or any of that sort of thing. I did ask if they had an agreement with BT, because I mean, I expect BT put it up to think it was on public land, obviously, in the first place. And if they were nippy about it, perhaps one of their tenants could take it on. We could buy it and give it to one of their tenants, and they put all their tenants in it. All that the secretary seemed to worry about was who was going to maintain it. I said, well, not you.
And the idea of the parish council would have gone that and done that
better.
I think that if we were owners of it, we would be.
I think so.
But anyway, yeah, and they were going to consult, and that was last week, and I don't know what that
did. I did think
it might be a way forward if you suggested it.
It sort of breaks the deadlock, doesn't it? Okay, if I could report from the district councillor,
I have got your report coming through in written form, which I will simply copy and put into the minutes.
Right.
Councillors will have received it this evening, but they probably haven't opened their emails to read it as yet. Because it only arrived to me today.
What was that, sir?
It's Councillor Smith's report.
Oh, yes. I did read that on the way home.
You did read it, good.
While I was driving.
Yep.
Multitasking.
Right. Okay.
While you're being driven, I imagine.
There's four things which I'd sort of put down. First of all, no particular order. Langage Energy Park. An agreement has been reached between Southend's District Council and the owners of Langage Energy Park, which is close, close to the A38 near Plimpton. They're going to develop 30,000 square feet of business starter units on a block of land next to the power station, which was decided when the power station was built, but it's been sort of held in abeyance. And the power station's changed hands and all sorts of things. So there'll be 30 units in all, but they'll be sort of phased, with the first phase, the start on the first 10 being made within a year. So Langage Energy Park, Southend's, it's a joint effort with Plymouth City Council. They already apply a similar policy to the part of Langage within their council boundary, and both authorities wish to see the Langage Energy Park become a thriving modern commercial centre.
Who will be the owners of that?
It's not
something that Southend's are doing.
It's not something that Southend's are investing in. It's just giving them.
Yes,
support.
They're invest.
The money has become available through. I'm not sure whether it's not business rates. It's it's really strange because at one stage the power station was. You never really know exactly what's happening with the power station. Sometimes people tell you that it's mothballed and it's not doing anything, and then others tell you that it's working flat out because it's got business rateable value of something horrendous, like 100,000 or something. Well, a few years ago, the owners of it at that time made an application. There was some government loophole whereby they made an application to get that business rate. The company had got several power stations in their control, and they tried to get the business rates reduced to £1, which would have
blown a considerable hole in South Andrews' well, and other people's finances. Anyway, that all got chucked out, and then things seem to have gone. It's under new ownership, and the new owners seem more amenable, because when it was built, decisions were made that this sort of thing would happen, but it never has. But now these people are, so it's a joint effort with the owners of the power station. South Hams are putting money into it.
The power station is in South Hams area, is it? Or is it
yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but it's right on the boundary.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I know you're going through that. What road works above the A38 that they're doing between the along almost that land?
Is that deep what? Deep lane?
No. I presume it's stabilising it.
Yeah. I presume.
Is that what it's all about?
Well, yeah. I think so.
They stop it because it's like shellity and. I presume they're worried about it sort of.
I've always assumed it was because it was stabilising it, because they've shaved it right back.
Yeah, haven't they just?
It's been going on for about 6 months.
That would be highways rather than dead ends.
That would be highways. Who appear to have got money to. I mean, about Burren, but. Built a place at just down below us, down at Dean, which is designed. Yeah, this is my report, Jonathan. You wanted to listen to
it. I've read
it. Yeah, other people haven't.
Let's go. Vehicles.
So they built an attenuation. It's a sort of pond, but it's an attenuation sort of soakaway arrangement down at Lower Dean, which is just Dean Court, which is involved in. Tunnelling underneath the A38, catching the water from the other side and putting it through this attenuation pond and reed bed area before it's discharged into the river in order to take out some of the toxins and stuff like that. But the amount of money that's been spent down there is just...
The amount of concrete and stone and everything that's gone into that.
It's all the from a car, so they could spend something.
Well, I thought the railway line was going to go through there at one point.
I don't know. I would imagine that the Cooper drivers have done very well. Anyway, moving on. Electric vehicle charging points. A two-year project to install at least 25 electric vehicle charge points for public use in car parks across Devon begins this month. Project's being led by Devon County Council in partnership with the five district councils, including South Hams. Charging points will be installed in key car parks in Devon's largest communities, including Totnes, Ironbridge, Kingsbridge, Dartmouth, and, Newton Abbot is tacked on because this report goes to Holme and Scarriton, which would have more use of Newton Abbot than they would for the other ones. So there is a lot, there's considerable movement to put electric charging points in. The problem is that they do cost the ordinary ones, similar to what you charge a car overnight. They are not too expensive, but it's these rapid charge ones which will charge a car within an hour or something like that.
And is the electric free?
No,
at these points.
You've got to pay for it because you do it online, do it through your phone.
Oh, okay.
But I was somewhat staggered to discover that because there's two at Follerton and those are free because the technology hasn't been in place to make them but having said that it is
I did park in one the other day and I bugged up an electric car.
You probably didn't.
But it didn't like that.
I can understand what they're saying. There are two or three employees that have got electric cars and they are encouraging employees to move to electric cars.
Well,
anyway,
perhaps if they let all the other ones free, perhaps it would encourage more people to use electric cars.
That has been rectified, so they will have to charge now.
I'll have a free can of diesel.
But the other ones, the rapid charging ones, need, I believe, a 7 kilowatt electricity supply, which is like putting in a transformer for a housing estate.
How many are intended to be installed in each town?
I would imagine it will probably be a couple in each car. It's not going to be mega. The A379 Slapton Line partnership, of which South Hams is a member, has secured funding for an adaptation manager to work closely with local village communities to ease traffic issues. You could have applied for that, Jonathan. and to create positive changes to prepare for the possible future loss of the road.
That's a positive.
Very.
Yes.
He's on a lot of money, or she?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They.
Well, it's a joint. It's a. They secured funding for it, and it's a joint post between Devon County and.
Who say appointed?
I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't.
Not Robin. Whatever it is.
No, Robin Toogood.
No.
Slapped and Line is quite a long way away from them. So, and the final thing, Devon Climate Emergency.
Oh, hold on, whoa, you missed out the bit.
Did I?
Yeah, well, you said a study has shown that there's no room left to move the road.
No.
Mm.
But then
so if it gets washed away again, we're all scuppered.
Yes, but the adaptation manager is to help. Well, presumably be standing on the corner directing lorries.
Yeah,
you know, to go back to
somewhere around the back of Kernborough, I would imagine. Yeah. Maybe too. I don't know.
The thing is, it'll just ruin all the slats and lay and all the wildlife there. I mean, that is quite.
Yeah, probably.
And the final thing, which is which is
this should have been top of your list.
Yes, it should have been top of my list. It did start out as being top, but anyway, this is the and. Certain parish councils, this would be absolutely the main topic of conversation. So the Devon Climate Emergency Response, a top team of environmental experts charged with ensuring that Devon reduces carbon emissions as quickly as possible, is now calling on residents to submit their ideas on how to do it. The call for evidence is open to everybody, and every submission will be reviewed by the Devon Climate Emergency Response Group Net Zero Task Force. They will present a series of options to a citizens' assembly, which will be convened by January.
Can I make a recommendation?
You're invited to have your say by going to. It's on the Devon.
I would like some electrical charging points
in
Avonwick for free.
Right,
especially the free one.
The free one.
Yeah,
just
the
free
one.
I'll change. If it's free,
I'll
change.
Free, okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. We don't have Councillor Oxley yet.
No.
I'm always hesitant to say this. Planning application.
No, we have none.
He's probably ever.
We have no planning application.
No.
My word.
Oh, there's no.
Yeah, you're lucky this one, aren't you? Yeah, you can go and sort out the other one.
Correspondence.
Right, there's three things. You've had a load come through to you, more information rather than thought. Yes. I've printed off three lengthy things. You don't need to read it all.
I don't think they want to hear me.
But the first one is for Jonathan. Sorry, Councillor Bell.
What have I done there?
Dear to dementia-friendly parishes.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
It's quite serious.
Yeah, it is.
According to our records, your parish did not respond to our original appeal for a representative, so we are writing again in the hope that you can identify someone from within your community, be they councillor, clerk or interested parishioner, who can join us at our monthly meeting and contribute towards our growth and to your parish council community becoming dementia friendly. They will be assured of a warm welcome and the feeling that they are working towards building dementia friendly communities and improving the quality of life for people with dementia and their families within the South Hams and being part of a wider national movement.
Seeing they've opened this up to people other than councillors and things, I thought perhaps if we put that into the minutes.
You go into the minutes.
We actually had a meeting here in the church, which was open to everybody, and it was run by South Brent Caring Group.
Yes.
Same people, I think, and they came to talk to us, and Dr James Hill came, and all sorts of people, a year ago, something like that.
Mm.
So we sort of joined in with South Brent on that occasion, not as a parish, but as people who
and
cared
just
about
a party.
Yeah.
Who sent that letter?
This is from Judy Wirr,
of the former
which is the Kingston Parish Council representative for Four Rivers Dementia.
I think she was the lady that came out to talk to us.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're waiting for is the manifestos and the Health Bill Act come through, and dementia, of course, will be sorted and if we're at the point of filling NHS.
Well, if we pay more taxes, which I'm more than willing to do, to have a better NHS,
if we
more than willing.
Yes, if we can do a press conference.
If anybody
wants
to.
My friend's husband has
quiet,
one.
Quiet, children.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman, would you like us to put a note about that on our website?
Please. This is to do with climate emergency, which we've been talking about. It starts off. Tom Dixon, Devon Climate Emergency, starts off, we need your help. And obviously it probably reiterates what Councillor Smerdon's already said, helping to publicise Devon Climate Emergency website and general awareness, help to encourage individuals and organisations to submit ideas and evidence to the Net Zero Task Force quickly and for consideration in the Devon Carbon Plan. It says in stark black letters, this is urgent.
This is from Devon County or
this
from South
Hams? From the Devon Climate Emergency.
Where do they sit?
They sort of sit to one side, but they've got people on it from every local authority within Devon, the national parks, and I think the health authorities.
I think this comes from Devon County Council,
yeah.
Effectively.
So they have, but and then they have. Sorry if I'm.
No, crack on.
If I'm taking it, trying to explain. So that's the Devon Climate Emergency Group or whatever, and then they have appointed a panel of 12 specialists led by a professor from. Either from Exeter or Plymouth, I'm not quite sure which one, but they are all climate.
What's the professor called, please? Take your bin out. No, what's he called? Professor.
Is he the one down at Plymouth?
He's got a funny.
Scottish guy.
Anyway, don't mind.
Yes. So it's a combination of those two. So they're not actually being run by either. You know, by any author, they're sort of autonomous to a degree. They've been given.
They're drawing a network in from all sorts.
Yes, they've been given the task of coming. They've got a 6-month task of coming up with.
Had 72 recommendations so far.
Issues to.
Jeremy, can I just ask who's funded it? And then.
Have you all had to put, the local authorities all had to put money in?
I don't know. I would imagine at this stage it's all a matter of it's funding the officers and it's officer time. I don't think there's any.
This
committee of 12 apostles, whatever they are.
Yeah, well,
they mentioned money here. The Rural Community Energy Fund offers support to eligible communities in two stages. Stage one, feasibility grant. For those communities at an early stage of exploring the possibility of a renewable energy project and which meet the fund's eligibility criteria, this stage offers grants up to a maximum of £40,000 to cover consultancy and professional costs for the development of a feasibility report in a standard format for a specific project. These should be early stage activities without which the installations would not be able to go ahead.
Yeah, that's more
stage
project.
Two, thanks. Full business development and planning grant, and this talks about funding up to 100,000. But who is, I mean, it doesn't say who is funding this.
Trees has been
network.
Suggested. Everybody wants to plant trees.
Well, I know
that
one, but
it's a different cipher.
Mr. Chairman, would you like information on that item of the council website?
I think so. There is Tony just pointed out there is a paragraph here that says your council could consider declaring a climate emergency and might wish to endorse the Devon Climate Declaration. You can register this and have your council listed on the website.
presumably, which is just we rubber stamping the idea, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've got no problems with this idea. It was just at the very beginning they took over the agenda when the new council was formed in Southampton.
Absolutely, yes.
And it was the way it was proposed and put forward and railroaded
yes.
onto it. I'm not taking that away. I'm one of the biggest environmental issue you'll ever find with regards to land and use and everything else and the tree warden, it was the way it was proposed and the way it took.
Well, I suppose it would probably do no harm to register our interest in the project.
Well, that's the only thing.
Chairman,
I'll
propose that we do.
Okay,
yeah.
Put a proposal. Seconded. Okay.
So we are declaring.
We're declaring a climate emergency and policy.
In
any way, can
I'll send you that?
You
can
take
what's
your
suppose?
No cars
anymore.
Phone,
a similar
yeah.
sort
no, we're happy to
be
blamed, but
not worried about
much. Yeah, but actually, what you're because this is where people get carried away, because what you're if you declare a climate emergency, if the parish council does it. It's a bit like Southampton or anything like that. You can only influence the stuff which or things which the parish council controls.
And we have nothing at all.
So if you've got a 5-acre field down the road, or for example, which you control, well then you could consider what you wanted to do with it.
You have to use eco-friendly paint on the phone box.
Yeah, but this is where all of these organisations are. This is the big trap that everybody's fallen into. For example, Dartmoor National Park, everybody thinks Dartmoor National Park's declared a climate emergency, therefore across the whole of the park, everything is going to change. But actually, no. What it means is the stuff that the park actually controlled, and the park has got, it's got land and it's got woodland and it's got staff and it's got vehicles and et cetera, et cetera. Well, all of that can be looked at from a climate carbon reduction point of view. But it's still you still can't force the people that live within it to adopt carbon. So this is where I think, people just think that because it's been done, then therefore everything... In what way, whether people think South Hams have done it, therefore across South Hams everybody will be adopting, everybody will be walking to work and cycling and etc., but it's not quite like that.
I suppose it's just a question of whether we feel we should be seen to acknowledge that there is an issue. We've had a proposal in a second. We have something from an organisation known as Power for People. Power for People appears to be a not-for-profit organisation campaigning for the local electricity bill that we authored to become law. The bill is currently supported by a cross-party group of 115 MPs.
They're all gone.
There aren't any MPs now. I would hesitate to be
we are not political
draconian about this, but I don't think this is relevant to us, but I think we should acknowledge that we received this thing from Power for People and put it on file.
Give you balances and things first. We started the month with £8,991.34, had income of 34p from the usual source, and expenditure of £16.50 for the play park graffiti removal. So we now have £8,975.18. You'll recall we had a sort of series of letters from Southampton District Council demanding money for us under false pretence.
With menaces.
I've now received something that looks absurd when you first look at it, but I've no doubt that there's a logic to it. We've had a credit note for the amount of money they
credit
say
note,
we
the money
owe.
We haven't spent.
Yeah. we haven't paid them, they've sent us a credit note.
Does that mean?
Interestingly, it hasn't arrived back in our bank account this morning.
But logically, it means we can claim this.
Well, then, if we claim it, then they'll claim the amount we haven't paid.
Yeah. Do you know, I just feel very concerned about the waste of money that South Hams is using. The number of letters that are sent, the waste of time of secretaries and all the... When they just don't... Nobody checks something that somebody else does.
It's ridiculous. Most of it's done by email. Yeah. But, I mean, they will...
They should still just check that things aren't needed to be paid,
Isn't that credit note simply a way of offsetting the unpaid?
I think from there, and it's cancelling
it
out. It's becoming close to being money.
But what baffles me, and I've got to say, in all the years I've been doing this work, I have never found it so hard to communicate with South Hams District Council. You cannot talk to anyone at any time about anything because they don't answer you.
Councillor?
Right, I'm listening. I'm
not asking for your opinion.
This probably has the same problem,
No.
But no, you get onto the phone line that takes 20 minutes before you get anywhere, and then you get shunted onto a line that's supposed to link you up with someone else, and there's never anyone there to answer it. It doesn't matter, honestly, any
there's
department.
There's been planning, environment,
wherever I seem to go. In the end, I end up insulting someone with an email and occasionally getting a response from that. But in all honesty, the communications that Southampton needs looking at, it really does. Communications with the wider public.
Never like in your day, Rob, was it?
Okay, well.
And the waste of money.
Well, waste of my time. That's what I'm concerned about.
That is your attitude that you've got no. That whoever's phoned that's got nothing better to do.
No.
No, I don't.
Well, that's what you feel.
And if,
I don't think that's the case, but.
And if calls get bogged down, they just switch the phone lines off.
No way,
you do?
No.
Well, it has to be said that in 20 years I've been doing this work, and I've never found it more difficult to get
through.
Well,
if you email me a
list of complaints,
yes,
I'll wait for the next example. And
yes,
no, do it now, do it because you've got plenty. You've got nothing else to do.
Well,
that's the biggest one. I mean, you know about that one already.
Yes,
and it's been dealt with sort of by then, but
there was planning.
It will eventually resolve itself.
Yeah,
because they've been sending out a bill and they've sent you a credit note.
You'll receive a statement.
It's the length
next.
Of time it takes to deal with anything that gets to me.
Then you'll get endless things saying nil balance.
Well, the very next time I have something, I'll get to you right at the beginning, if that's okay.
I mean, you came up with enough examples. Mm. So, I mean, if you want to send me an email, then
I will be getting down to specifics then, because in all honesty, my brain is such that I have to get specifics.
Well, I will make sure that the executive member with executive member with responsibility for customer service.
Yeah.
That's not Pennell, is it?
He's not an executive.
There is.
It has to be said that if I go by you or by Councillor Powell, then we get something done.
Oh.
Yes.
That's the one way into the council for me is to come by you. We should get an answer.
Yes.
And believe me, I appreciate
it. I hesitate to say it. Order, please.
Yeah, I'm sure any member would far sooner that you did that rather than just felt that you were being
ignored.
Just getting
pushed out. Okay,
so
anyway, I'll follow
that.
So finance still?
Finance still. We have a bill to be paid for the website, which you did explain to me in the email you sent me. Could you explain it to everyone else?
This is the charge for the web hosting, which is the space on the internet which holds our website. The annual charge of...
It's not a lot, $17.99. And finally, the thing that we need to plan for, not do anything about at the moment, we have been told that the bill for our local election, the parish council election, will be presented to us before April for payment. It's £707, which I have to say baffles me. I just cannot believe that it costs £707, but I think we're playing the whole South House bill. It feels like it.
What is that for?
For the election of the parish council.
And district, or was it just...
But anyway, what I need to suggest to you is that we need to put this onto our budgeting for next year. Now, next month I'll be presenting you with a budget for the next financial year. And do I meet with your approval to put this into that budget?
Yeah, we have to pay.
Fine. Right, then that's it.
Highways.
I've actually got one thing. The last time, the last meeting, you were going down to the pub to discuss the car park and the fireworks. And what was going to happen to all the cars?
Well, I think the simple answer to that is that we raised the subject. Mm. They're under no obligation to provide anything. We, I think, accepted here that they couldn't really use a field at this time of year because nobody get in and out. I think it's an impasse, really. I mean, they're aware of this situation. I imagine it'll be even worse this year because they've got a marquee in the car park, which means nobody will be actually parking in the car park. So I imagine we'll have the same unadulterated chaos we've had every year. But they're under no obligation to do anything about it, and I doubt they will.
Do you happen to know if they have any? They have no plans at all to manage traffic.
Well, last year they said they had wardens.
And they did seem to have wardens.
And I'm confident that... last year, the garage allowed them to park some cars there, but I mean, there are an awful lot of people coming, and I think really and truly we've just got to back down hatches because it'll be exactly the same as it has been every year up to now. I mean, the subject was raised, they're aware of it. I don't think they've been in the van.
In future years, as a council, are we able to, for example, arrange for parking to be suspended on one side of the road up from the park, for example?
I don't think we have that
we certainly don't.
I don't think we have that capability. I mean, we have no jurisdiction over highways. You know, we can't tell people where to park.
Is that something that could be requested from Devon Highways, for example, on a temporary basis?
I suppose it's something we could possibly look into, but...
it's unfortunate that you can't use a field this time of year.
The thing that one is worried about, I think, more than anything, is the emergency services that can't get in and out if such a bad situation arose.
Maybe we should look into it in broad terms. I mean, it is certainly an issue.
And perhaps if they came up, we could discuss it with them. Perhaps we could help them or...
I think, yes, if you can talk to the highways office, see what the situation is for similar events. Where there are
problems, and
what our powers are. Because, I mean, it is...
It's good for the village and it's good for the pub.
Yes. But it is, frankly, dangerous. Okay.
Councillor Hoskin, could you help me set that? I need to talk to someone from Highways concerning the parking of cars or the arrangement of parking of cars for future events at the pub.
Specifically, we're talking about the charity bonfire night they have, which is enormously popular, but which involves large numbers of cars parking on public roads and potentially causing blockages for emergency services, creating issues of public safety, frankly.
The question has been raised as to whether we could get a line of no parking things down the side of one side of the road to at least keep one side of the road open, whether that would be a feasible thing.
Cones. It does happen for events. Mm. I'm struggling to remember, it's a long time ago I actually dealt with this. Who you request in that respect, I believe it's the police. Oh, I'm not certain, it may be. I'll ask Nicole.
Could you look into it?
I mean, for this year it's too late, but for next year we might be able to do something.
I mean, there is nowhere around near or close by for them to file into a park.
No, it is
subject to bad weather.
No, it is an impasse, really. Anyway,
They're making it worse with the marquee on the car park.
Well, no, the car park is never available for parking because it's
yeah, always closed off to
people
for the spectators.
Yeah.
However, if I could invite Ken Castle to give us our report.
Thank you very much. Just four items, I think, this evening. The first one is to raise your awareness of a Connecting Devon and Somerset consultation with regard to broadband. They're trying to establish the level of download speed that is available at this moment in time, with the objective of increasing it throughout the county to two counties to a minimum of 30 megabits per second. I certainly don't get that, I'm guessing it
won't.
So I will send you a link to the consultation, and would be grateful if you could circulate that as widely as you can so that people can respond as to their current download and upload speeds. Thank you. The next item is to mention grip bins. We will be topping them up again this year, but it will be on request on the Reported Problem website, and would you kindly have a look at your bins. Establish those that are either empty or where the salt is so solid that they can't be used, and they will be replenished if you
the
report those.
The public things. Could request it as well as councillors.
Yes, they can, yeah.
So if that goes into the minutes, we can make that.
Sure.
Have you had your road salt?
Yeah.
Well, we asked for it ages ago.
There was
yeah.
There is a con.
There was one in the latest. Did you not get the latest Devon
blurb?
There is a small paragraph tucked away, and they're talking about snow wardens and claiming one. If you haven't, I'll send it to you again. Just
we requested it last time we saw you, didn't we?
No, I don't think Councillor Hoskins has been here for
anything. Oh, didn't we?
No, we mentioned it.
I thought you said you wanted like four.
Send that to me, I'll
get it to you.
And if you can't find it, come back to me and I'll get it for you.
Right.
No problem. In fact, I think, Nick, there is now an online connection, but the last time I checked on this, Nick Colton said he was the route for large quantities of solid.
Right.
So that's another possibility. Just to report that we have... at the six-month outrun, as they call it, an 18 million shortfall on our care services budget this year, mainly due to, in fact, almost exclusively due to increased demand for statutory services. We have had a small allocation of money towards that, in addition to the normal budget of approximately 6 million, but we will be having to make some savings to have a balanced budget by the end of the year. Again this year.
You say savings, it means cuts.
It means that we won't be spending things that we otherwise might be. We wouldn't necessarily
cuts.
Describe
cuts.
It as cuts. You may interpret it slightly differently. I've got the next item on my list, which is Crime Stoppers. I don't think I've given you one of these. If you'd be kind enough to pass that forward. This is an awareness of a telephone number which anyone can use, and there's also a website link to report crime totally anonymously. It's been running for about 8 years now, and
perhaps the chairman would like it.
Yes.
Just thinking, for your tires.
You think even us the right person?
Oh, no.
That could go into the notice board quite happily.
Could we have two?
Can we have two? We've got two notice boards.
If you're going to put it up in the one up top, you're going to say put it inside a plastic sleeve. Top one's leaking.
Can I try and get you another one? Because I think I need two for the two more parish councils, if that's okay.
Okay.
Well, if you take this.
Laminate
one.
It.
Yeah, that's the other one.
And that's publicising the telephone number 0800 555 111.
Mm. And it's 100% anonymous. They ask you your name as soon as they pick it up.
And your date of birth.
No, it is 100% anonymous.
Yes.
I can assure you. The only other thing that I wanted to mention is Jonathan recently asked me for a link to a red classification website. I hope you've now got that.
I have,
and
thank
been
you.
Able to find your way through to that.
And I have, yes.
Excellent, good. It's quite a useful link if you ever need to know the classification of any road, or whether in fact it's a private road, it will show basic information.
Yes, I can. I'll forward
you.
Okay. Items for future meetings. I suppose the telephone box again.
Salt, make sure you've got enough of that.
Planning officer to visitors.
Planning officer.
Yeah. Planning officer to visit.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Thanks for coming.
The website accessibility again.
Pennystone Lane. The update from
Widdicombe.
Mr. Widdicombe.
I'll ring him and see what he has to say. I'm confident he will have had a look.
He did ring me to find out how much money we've got to pay him.
He did ring me too, wanting to know if Rattray wanted to engage his services.
He's very good.
He is good.
And it's not expensive.
From a selfish point, I would say we don't want you to take him on because he does from Ditford here to
as long as you can, as long as you can keep him happy, that's good.
He's at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Was he really?
Date for next meeting, 3rd of December.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you, Chairman.
Excellent.